We have to understand who it is. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, it said that the Pharisees in the end of chapter 3 were mad. They didn't like John, but they hated Jesus. Because John was baptized, and Jesus and John was baptized, and you're going to see it in the scripture. Jesus didn't baptize nobody, but his disciples baptized. But he and John was out preaching and baptizing, and the Pharisees get upset because Jesus have been drawing bigger crowds all over the place now, because his ministry take off and drawing big crowds and all that was going on. So here Jesus been doing that, and Jesus, leave, because he don't want to do no confusion in the midst of that. So it's not that Jesus was scared for the Pharisees, but he leave there and end up. The Bible said then chapter 4 and verse 5. It said, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. If you read in the 33rd chapter and begin to someplace at the 19th verse of Genesis, you will see that, or in the 48th chapter, you will see the ground that Jacob have bought, and Jacob said, I fought with it in my soul, and give it to his son Joseph. If you read over in Joshua 24 on, you will see when Moses have brought up Joseph's body, that's the place they buried Joseph, at that land that his father gave, because his father told him when he was in Egypt, I give you a bigger portion than the rest of your brothers. Here we are now this morning at chapter 4 at verse 6. It says, now Jacob well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, noon, high noon. If you know anything, which some of you I know that you don't know, because you're born in Massachusetts, you're born in Springfield, you're born on Main Street, so your water come inside the house. But for Sister Greaves and my friend, who we are from different part of the world, if you know something about water, we have to get up early. And not the early that Reverend Dixon talk about, but early. And go draw our own water. We have a river or a spring that you have to go miles to get water. And Brother Clark is here. We go far to get water. Early in the morning and late in the evening. Nobody draw water at midday because the sun was too hot to draw water. My brothers and sisters, I need you to pay good attention to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being weary of his journey. His humanity, not his divinity, but his humanity was weary. That shows that Jesus have feeling like you and I. Weary of the journey. Traveling all day with his disciples. Now hungry and weary and thirsty. But I may say to you this morning, it is not even by weary for thirst of water, but for the soul of this woman. Amen. Amen. Read back. I need to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. Yeah. The Jews and the Samaritan, which we're going to see later on, don't ever get together. They hated each other because of mixed marriages. Syrian have take these people and put them there and they mixed married with the Jews, and they didn't like it. You read over there in that second chapter, in 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 24. With all the mixed marriages and all what was going on there. And some of them, they were so bad that they have all idols, and they send for one of the prophets that they take over to come and talk to them. Because they make idols. They have a part of godliness, but they have their idol mixing with that. And you know that sin and God are not going to work. Oil and water don't work together. Don't care how you want to. I don't know if they have the hot club now or whatever they have downtown now, a casino. You cannot be going to the casino to see Stevie Wonder or whoever come down there and gamble money and bring it to the church. And if you win and bring it to the church. May I say to us, if we do that, I don't know what nobody do. I'm just making a statement. If you do that, I suggest that you keep that money. Don't put it in the God's offering when it takes up, because you will contaminate the old thing. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, Jesus sat on the well waiting patiently, long journey. But he know in his divinity that woman was coming to the well and he was waiting on her. Over some 50 years ago, or 40-odd years, he waited on me. He waited on me till I receive him at Canyon Baptist Church of Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. What weary Christ. You understand, my brothers and sisters, that your sin and my sin, let Christ become weary. In the 7th chapter of Isaiah, on verse number 13, Ahaz said, "Oh, you children of David, you weary me and weary my God." Then he asked a question, "Will you weary my God also too?" Our sins, my brothers and sisters, weary God. We stop off last week, Reverend Dixon, stop off at the 17th chapter. This week we stop off. This flight make a stop in this 4th chapter and look on our Savior sat there weary and thirsty and hungry. And it said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria." Jesus said, "Give me to drink." And she throwing the old age question. "Oh, you a Jew? Ask me, a woman of Samaritan, for water? And you know that the Jews and the Samaritan have no dealing at all." When we witness into somebody, not because we may know what that individual do, or when we are counseling somebody, or when we're encouraging somebody, could I say to you, my brothers and sisters, do not bring up the individual fault, because we know that he or she have won. Because we will never get to this where we want to get, because we want to get to the heart. But if we bring up his past or her past, we will never get there. Look, Jesus never answered that question. Why should you and I answer it? Never answered. He bypassed it. Jesus answered and said unto her, "This word that I love, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given, and he would have given thee living water. My brothers and sisters, your salvation is not free. Most people have to ask God to come into their life, to change their lives. Here Jesus said to the woman, if you know who asks you for this water, you would have given it to him, and he would have given you. You would have given your life and given it to you more abundantly, if you know. Mm-hmm. Let me read this to you because it's blessed me. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. If you know, what is the gift of God that we want? Salvation. Life, and life more abundantly. Peace and joy and love, those are the gift of God. But if you know the gift of God, you would have asked, and I would have given you living water. Thirst for water is one thing, but thirst for God is something different. Oh, Jesus was thirsty for this woman's soul. He was thirsty because he was about his father's business. And we, as we rush on, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? She asked Jesus a question. I don't know if it's rhetorical or what, but Jesus is the one who contains all the water. Jesus said, the water that I will give you is living water. I am the source of all water. I am the source of all grace. Yes. If you had just asked me, I would have given to you living water. I have something that can draw the water. I create the water. I create the sea. I create the rivers. I create the ocean. Yet Jesus didn't work a miracle right there when he thirsts. He asked her for a drink. Jesus could have spoke to the water. Some writers said that well was about 100 feet deep. He could have spoke to that water and it comes up and he get water. But Jesus want her to understand that he is in control. The well of water of life, I have it. My brothers and sisters, all in the Old Testament, you read it, it talks about water. It represents God sometimes as water. You are forsaken the fountain of life. All these scriptures are in Isaiah the prophet, or they are in the Psalms. You can read about them and see that he is the one who contains all water. He is the one that have all water. You remember that Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were scared, and he said, it is I. Don't be scared. You remember that this is the same Jesus over there in the 19th chapter of this same John that said at verse 28, I thirst. This is the same man that said to this woman, if thou knowest the gift of God, what about your salvation? Do you want the gift of God? If you are here this morning and don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, or if you do know and stray away, will you come back to him today and receive this free gifts of grace, this overflowing water, this life flowing water, this water of power that only Jesus and Jesus alone has? Will you come to the fountain and drink. Over in Isaiah said, oh, ye come and drink all. Buy meat and all who are thirst, buy meat and eat. It costs no money at all. Will you come to Jesus today and buy meat? My brothers and sisters, look at this woman. One of the things that the Holy Spirit have showed me, this woman, I believe she was in her younger years. She was good looking. Nice figure, nice set of year. She was somebody. Because the only way you can have five husbands. You figure that out. The only way you can have five husbands. You're somewhere between a pear and a Coca-Cola bottle. Somewhere there. And the rest of folk, I'm thinking, what happened in this water drawing? If you read over there in First Samuel chapter 9 and verse 11, when Saul and them go up, it said Saul met the maidens that were going to draw water. So water is a community thing. Here on the street of Sychar and the street of Samaria, Jesus waited on her. And the street of Liberty and Karoo, right. He is waiting on somebody.
Right.
I don't know who you are. But I know that he's waiting on you if you have not turned your life over to him yet. Will you come to our loving God who have patience with you, who waiting for you, who, listen, when he was on the cross, he waited until somebody said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Waited. Waited. He's waiting for you. Here, verse number 12 and 14 said, after she threw in this question, the Samaritans, they believe in the Pentateuch, you know, but they mix it up with their idol worship. They build their temple up on Mount Gerizim Helbo is on the other side. They build their temple up there, so they're worshiping up there. But they worship with idol gods, with the true God. You cannot have both together. Oh, you cannot mix water and oil together. I know I said it already, but I'm saying it again. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which give us this well and drink it there himself, his children, and his cattle? Are you greater? Jesus just said to her, if thou knowest who it is, you would have asked for water. But now you're comparing me with Jacob. I'm greater than, I create Jacob. Jacob didn't create me. I'm the creator of the universe. I know you don't know that as yet, but I'm telling you that I am greater than Jacob. Even Jacob was glad, just like Abraham, glad to see my day. Yeah. How you think that Jacob get down into Egypt and come back out there? I'm the one that do this. So read, do you understand when Moses said in that 18th chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 15 that, listen, God is going to raise up one just like me, him you must serve. Listen, I am he you serve. Cannot mix them up together. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, and a well of water shall springing up into everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, you and I is wellspring, not Father Pastor Burke Farmer Church, but we are wellspring. We produce water, the water of Christ. We produce faith in us that we can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We are a well of water. Now, in this verse, I believe Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse number 10, he was talking about God, blessings and God and salvation. Here, I believe he was talking about the Holy Spirit in chapter 7, verse 38 and verse 39. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, my brothers and sisters, out of your belly. Now you believe Christ. Now you receive Christ. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Will you let the water flow everywhere you go? All over this city, in your homes, and your job. Some of the hardest place for us, the witnesses in our home and in our family. They don't want to hear us. And I don't know if it's what we did or what we didn't do. But they don't want to hear us. When we encourage them, right? When we tell them all things, when they were down, going down the road of destruction, and we talk to them all day and all night, yet they seem like they block their ear. Somebody don't want to hear about Jesus. Oh. But when troubles come, when heartache comes, when pain comes, they run back home or call on the telephone. And some of us who raise in grandchildren or even our own children live with us or live someplace else, but their problems come to our home. When we invite them to come and drink from the well, some of them came and taste and leave. I pray that they come back and drink the whole well. Not like Jacob well, because all what I tried to read and see and look on, even the great preacher, Brother Spurgeon, told me that the well was not a spring-fed well, but it was a well where the dew and the runoff and all of them, so it's down there. So that's what that well was, that the communion well, the community well, that they go to draw water. Yeah. Oh, my brothers and sisters, look now with me at this woman. Have no friends, no female friends. She good with the fellows, but no female friends. What happened? Was she better looking than them? Or was she just an adulterous woman that we have now? These are the women that used to go to the well together and share stories, laugh and talk and their journey and sing songs together. But all of a sudden now, they look at her with scorn and disdain. She's not in our league anymore because she have Dick, Tom, and Harry, and Jimmy, and Wallace, and the rest of fellows. That's her companion. So we have not, we look down at him. And I pray this morning, or this afternoon, in this here church, that we've been for 25 plus years, that we don't look down on nobody because of what they're doing or what they used to do. Because all of us used to do something. Don't look down because she got five husbands and the man that she live with now is not even her husband. Help her. Encourage her. Talk to her. Love her. I know we do it. For those of us who've been here for a long time. But I'm just talking to even those that just come. Our new members. Every time Bishop stand up behind this pulpit, I don't care what you do. Listen, we're not looking down on nobody. I don't care what you wear to come here, as long as the top part is decent. Not too short, not too low. And if you need something, we buy it. We're not looking down. We are in the soul-saving business. Not to criticize. I don't care if you marry or you don't marry. Make no difference. We in the soul-saving business. That's what Jesus was pointing out to her. Yeah, the woman said unto him, "Sir, listen, give me this water that I thirst not. Neither come thither to draw." Listen, she's mixing up spiritual things with earthly things. Listen, she may think Jesus talking about some water into some well. No, I'm talking about your salvation, which is more important to you than some well water. If you want water, I can call up water from the well and fill your bucket. Yeah, I know. In chapter 8, I bypassed the disciples. In verse 8, I know I bypassed the disciples because they gone to town to buy food. But somewhere, I have the feeling, it does not say this in the word, but this is me. I have the feeling that John was someplace beside Jesus, that he could record this vivid story that you and I can have it today. I know chapter 8 said the disciples go to town to buy food, but somewhere I have this belief that he was there to have this vivid story, because in the heat of the day when Jesus sat on this well and looked down the road waiting until she get there, hawks her for a drink of water. Now she call him Jew. "You are a Jew. Why you ask me?" But look for it on as we go on. Since you're mixing up the story, Jesus said to her, "You don't understand what I'm talking. Go call your husband. Go call him." She said, "I ain't got no husband." Jesus said, "True. Because you have five. And the man that you now live with is not your husband." Listen. She have five husbands. None of them ever tell our truth. Not one of them ever tell her the truth. And the joker that she have now, he not even telling her the truth. But she have one good trait. Listen to it now. Let me show it to you. The woman answered and said unto him, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou art well said. I have no husband, for thou art five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is that thy husband, in, listen, semicolon, in this, in that said, thou speakest the truth. Now, the one good trait in her is to speak truth. Every time I witness or I counsel to somebody and they want me to encourage them, I say to them, if you're not going to tell me the truth, don't waste my time. I'm not God, but to get to the root of the problem, you got to tell me the truth. Because without the truth, we're not going to get anywhere. Amen. How could I witness to you and you're lying to me? You want me to pray for you? Yes, good.
My goodness,
but what's going on?
Yeah.
What it is. And we learn and understand that when we're counseling folk and when folk tell us their private business. I love my wife. But she can't know about it.
Amen.
Because they didn't tell her.
Right.
They tell me.
Right.
So you'd have to die with me.
Right.
When somebody tell us the truth, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
In that said thou the truth. Listen now. The woman said unto him, sir, she was nice to you now. Because she called Jesus number 11, verse 11, sir. In chapter 9, he called him Jew. In number 11, verse 11, he called him sir. Verse 15, he called him sir. Verse number 19, he called him sir. I perceive. Listen, when you get to the heart of the story, when you speak the truth, listen, when we get to the heart of the problem, somebody have to tell you the real truth. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Because only a prophet could know that I got five husbands. I didn't tell you that. Only a prophet could know that I got five husbands, and the man that I live with is not mine. Our Father, listen now, she changed the subject again, trying to get away from her salvation, but Jesus was persistent. It is not about even she have five husbands and the man that she live with, but it's her salvation. My brothers and sisters, when he was waiting on the well, sitting there talking to her about her salvation, because if you keep reading and studying, no Jewish man would sit there and talk to a single woman by themselves or talk to a woman when her husband was not there. So Jesus get into the heart of the story now. For thou art, we covered that already. Yeah, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that. Our Father, worship in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now Jesus taught the real story. Because you didn't get it before. So now let me tell you the real story. Jesus said unto the woman, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in Jerusalem or in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what we worship. We know what we worship. For salvation is at the Jews first. It is the Jews who are supposed to be spreading the gospel throughout the entire world. But because they didn't receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't spread the word. As I get ready to close, look at it. But the hour cometh. And now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hear the word again.
Amen.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. I'm seeking, I'm plowing you to worship and to glorify God. For God, listen here, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot come up here and come in here and think we're worshiping God if we are not going to worship God in spirit and in truth. We cannot fake worship. We must worship God and glorify God and magnify God, because he's worthy to be praised.
Amen. Amen.
I know the Bible said God is a spirit. God is spirit.
Yeah.
So when we worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth. When the drums drum a beat, we worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
When the organist plays,
yeah,
we worship him in spirit and in truth. When the singer sings,
uh-huh,
we worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray, we,
yeah,
pray in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
When we magnify his name, we magnify his name in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We give him glory because he's worthy. My brothers and my sisters, as I get ready to close, these verses, or this verse, when I read this over there in November or somewhere, this verse just blew me off my chair. So I have to read it for you, because we may think the woman don't know God, or we may think she just some whole adulterous woman. But my brothers and sister, this woman understand, she may not understand the old thing, but she believe that when the Messiah comes, oh, let me read what she said for you that you can understand. The woman said unto him, I know. When I read that some 4 months ago, I have to stop and think about this woman who have 5 husbands and the man that she live with now. She said, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things, what we have to do, how we have to worship God, how we have to glorify God. He will tell us how we're going to get to heaven when he's come. No, he will tell us. Jesus turned to him and said, I that speak it unto thee am he. Oh, there is some places in this Bible that I had and that you have, that I would like to sit down like a fly on the wall to listen to this here conversation and to listen to this praise that going on into this woman's life.
Yeah.
When Jesus said, I that speaketh unto you, is he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, this is, listen, one of the time, or could be the first time, Jesus ever revealed himself to somebody. Well, you're going to say, well, the scribe and the Pharisees in Mark and in Matthew and in Acts. Listen, when they asked Jesus, Jesus said, you said so. You said that I am the Son of Man. But now he said, I am he to this woman. The other time Jesus said it, you remember in the 9th chapter when he healed that boy? And verse 37, when he was looking, when they expelled him from the temple and he was looking for the boy, and when he find him, Jesus asked him a question, that if you know who he is, he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I am he.
Yeah.
Did he ever talk to you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Jesus like that?
Yes, sir.
I am he.
Yeah.
I'm the great I am. I'm the creator of heaven and earth. I'm the creator of you, my sister. I understand that you don't have no female friend because something happened between you and them. And they dislike you. They look down upon you. They think they're better than you. They may dress better than you, comb their hair better than you, paint their nails better than you, wear better makeup than you, wear high-heeled boots and shoes and all that stuff. And when they dress and go down the street, their husband look at them, but I don't got no friend at all, no. All I have is them fellas that I can talk to. They are the only one that will understand me. And they don't even understand me because I want to be somebody. I want to be a daughter of the Most High God. But all they want is my body. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, this afternoon as we get ready to go down from here, this same Jesus that I'm talking about who talked to this same woman, this same Jesus who came down through 42 generations, this same Jesus who walked all Jerusalem that I can walk the new one, this same Jesus who they nailed, who they whooped all night long, this same Jesus who they nailed to the cross. Somewhere in my spirit, I believe that Jesus told this woman all about this situation that's going to take place in his life. This same Jesus who hung on the cross at Calvary, never say a word unto nobody until somebody said something unto him. You can understand there was two men hanging, one on the left, one on the right, and keep arguing and arguing until one look and say something different about this man. Yeah. Because you can understand they have Jesus stretch him wide and hang him high. And there he hung his head with blood coming down all over his face and never said nothing to nobody until the man said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not the one in California. But paradise. Take this woman home to paradise. But he go to the grave. And as Reverend Dixon said, early. One Sunday morning. First day of the week. He got up with all power in his hand. Who takes the key from that hell and the grave. He got up and sat on the right end of the throne. That you and I can get up from our dead state. And glorify and magnify. As I get ready to close, look on the woman. Now she become a preacher. One of the best evangelists in the entire Bible. Because Jesus told him to go call her husband. She didn't go then. But after Jesus said, I am I that speaketh unto thee, is he. She leave her water pot. No water, the water was not important then. No more. Because now she get it. Now she get it.
Right.
And she run to the city and tell the man, come see a man. Come, verse 29 said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. I wonder, my brothers and sisters, if when you go out, you say to your family and somebody, come see a man. Who tell me something that I never know about myself. Come see a man who tell me that salvation is only in him and him alone. Come see a man who told me all about my sins and all about my shortcomings. And all the time he talks to me, when I look in his eyes, I didn't see lust. When I look in his eyes, all I can see is love. All I can see is peace. All I can see when I look at his eyes is joy and deliverance. When I look at him, there is something different about this man. I mess around and I have six of them. But this man, above all men, when I look, I know I just call him a Jew. I know I just call him a prophet. But he's greater than a prophet. He's greater than a Jew. Oh, we must go through Samaria. Disciples don't understand. But this was a teaching moment for them. Because somewhere in their mind, you think they said, Don't you understand that the Jew and the Samaritan have no dealing at all? And they didn't ask him none. And they went to town and come back and buy food and saw Jesus and the woman talking, but nobody there asked him a question. Don't ask him no question. It was a teaching moment for them. Because Jesus leave them with the greatest commandment. Matthew 28, verse 18 on. Go ye therefore in all the world. Preach and baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Will you, my brothers and sisters, don't look down on the drug addict. Don't look down on the prostitute.
Right. Amen.
Don't look down on the homosexual. Because all of us,
speak.
If you don't have them in your family, they're coming. All of us have them in our family.
You're right.
All of us. Speak life.
Yeah.
Speak life like Jesus. Don't bring up, when we're witnessing to people, don't bring up their past.
Yeah.
Speak life.
Yeah.
Because if you keep bring up the past, look, Jesus, when she told, oh, you a Jew and I am a Samaritan, ask me for what? Look, I read again. Jesus didn't answer that question. He didn't answer it then. Because this was the important question of the day. Your salvation is the important question. Will you leave here glorifying God and have a changed mind? Don't look down on the woman because she have five husbands. But look on the salvation that her persistent, Jesus persistent with her and speak to her needs, not her wants. All of us like wants. I want this, I want that. I want to hear a sermon that fire brimstone coming down. But listen to this one.
Amen.
If you're going to witness to anybody
at
all, remember this. Every time you pass some water, every time you take a drink,